speak to you in the name of God. Amen. We know they are there. We know they are there, all the saints. They are the ones whose lives shine with the unbearable lightness of being. For most of us, life is heavy. We feel it every day. Just this week, in some correspondence with a friend, I admitted that I felt really tired with so much on my shoulders. Just heavy. It feels like the ordinary weight of life, with all of its worries, failures, troubles, and heartaches. Not long ago, my younger son, John, who is 44, confessed that his life felt like it was freighted with the longings of children on one end and the weakness and fragility of parents on the other end. I said, well, that's middle-aged, John. Ordinarily, our lives feel both heavy and ordinary, not so much heroic as labored. So when we assemble to remember the saints on this Feast of All Saints, we escape our comfort zone. We celebrate those others who have run like sparks through the stubble. In the words of Scripture, mention of all the saints carries us into a world where first things have passed away and ineffable joys seem possible. They really are a motley crew, the saints, I mean. In our calendar of holy women and men, there are hordes of monks and nuns and ordained persons, of the laity, many are royalty. Some of those on the list were tortured, burned at the stake, spread the gospel to India, Persia, Armenia, or translated the Bible under the most challenging circumstances. Important people, we presume, at least in our memory. We remember them with great thanksgiving. We marvel at their courage. We imagine them in glory. And we return to our heavy and labored lives, feeling inadequate or overwhelmed. Imagine Mother Constance and her companions, all of them nuns of the community of St. Mary, who found themselves at the center of the yellow fever in Memphis and stayed to help. What do you suppose they felt in the heat and putrefaction of Memphis, with friends and strangers dying all around them? Do you suppose they were comforted by pious promises of holy reward? Do you imagine they felt righteous beyond the reach of torment? If anything, don't you think their lives felt heavy and dense and daunting? We remember them as saints, but they must have wondered what new things they were forging. Imagine Samuel Isaac Joseph Shereshevsky, a Jewish man from Lithuania who emigrated to the United States, became a Christian, then an Episcopalian, and then was made Bishop of Shanghai. Paralyzed in every limb after a stroke, with his powers of speech partly gone, sitting for nearly 25 years in the same chair, slowly and painfully typing out with two fingers his Mandarin translation of the Bible. Do you suppose he wondered why his life had come to this heavy place, why he was so bound and disciplined, why the Lord had allowed him such suffering and pain? We remember him as a saint, but he must have hoped that with the passing of the first things, he was hastening in a new heaven and a new earth. Imagine Jonathan Daniels, a young man from New Hampshire, who was captured by the light on Easter Sunday at the Church of the Advent in Boston, amidst clouds of incense, radiant sounds of holy music, and a company of ordinary men and women. From that moment, he turned to follow Jesus, to seek virtuous and godly living. During evensong at the Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, he heard, as if for the first time, the promise of the Magnificat, that God has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. So Jonathan Daniels, this ordinary young man from New Hampshire, went to Mississippi to help in the voter registration of African Americans too long deprived of their right to vote. Suddenly, he pushed a young girl, Ruby Sales, to safety and was killed by the blast of a shotgun. You suppose in the moment before he died that Jonathan Daniels expected to be given a place on the church's calendar of saints? Do you suppose he felt like a sacrificial burnt offering? Imagine our sister Bernice Hall. She's not in the prayer book, but she surely has an honored place in our book of saints. Imagine the heaviness of her life, with the literal weight of her oxygen tank, the aching of her bones, the burden of her congested heart. As her life began to fold in, do you suppose Bernice felt among the honored few? Do you imagine she felt comforted by the hope of immortality? Look around you at the banners of all those in our fellowship who've died since last All Saints Day. Look at all the names. Surely in the hands of God and now at peace. And we remember they're running like sparks through the stubble. And we know that God's grace and mercy rests upon them. Don't you see what an ordinary bunch they are? But their lives were lifted by the unbearable lightness of being. And when we finally remember them rightly, we have no better gospel than the raising of Lazarus. Surely just an ordinary man, Lazarus was, the brother of two sisters, Mary and Martha of Bethany, friend of Jesus, no different, not so different from other men in Palestine. But he died, and Jesus wept. And then Jesus went to the tomb, and they took away the stone, and Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Then he said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." All the saints we remember on this feast day, the long ago heroes, the bearers of scars of the kingdom, the men and women who offered their lives of virtuous and godly living, are the ones who are unbound and set forth. It must be a breathtaking gift to be unbound, to be released from the heaviness of life, to be set free to sit patiently before the typewriter for 25 years, to absorb the deadly cloud of yellow fever, to face the shotgun in the moment of terror, to feel the oxygen tank transform from a weight into a medallion of light. We know they are there, the saints. We read about their bravery and persistence, their faith and their grace. And on this Feast of All Saints, isn't it astonishing that Jesus still stands by the mouth of our graves and calls out, "Unbind them and let them go." With that simple command, the Lord knits us together in one community and fellowship. And we also may run like sparks through the stubble of this world. Amen.